You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Homelessness across Wisconsin increased during the pandemic. Officials say unsheltered homelessness has become the main challenge. And with winter here, cities are racing to find solutions. Diane Bazooka reports on what Madison is doing to get people sheltered.
In a typical year, Ben Jackson says he might connect with 230 unsheltered people in Madison.
The reason they enclose their stuff like this is to try and protect their stuff from being stolen.
He does outreach for a homelessness nonprofit called Porchlight. But last year, that number soared to about 600.
As the pandemic started pushing people out of their jobs, suddenly you had people that had never camped outside, just basically out on the street and, you know, really kind of lost.
Many of those people ended up in city parks. In Madison's Rheindahl Park, an encampment formed that had nearly 100 residents this summer. In response to drug use, crime, and community complaints, the city turned to an industrial site on Madison's southeast side as an alternative. There, on a two-acre lot, they've built what looks like a tiny subdivision of ice fishing shanties.
One of the reasons that Rheindahl Park has proven to be so problematic is because there was very little structure around the use of that park.
Jim O'Keefe is Madison's community development director.
So what we're trying to do out at Dairy Drive is to provide a setting that is everything that Rheindahl Park was not.
For 2 years, Dairy Drive will have around-the-clock staffing and on-site services. But there's only room for 30 people, and many of Rheindahl Park's residents don't want to go. Jamie Goodyear moved to the park with her boyfriend in August when they used the last of their savings to buy a tent.
I don't want to live somewhere where it's literally tinier than the tent we already have. Nope, I don't want to.
Her boyfriend, Anthony Kudingo, recently got a job near Rheindahl Park. Like many residents, he's concerned about the remote location of the new encampment.
Dairy Drive is too far away. They don't have any transportation lined up to help us. We don't have no services out there. There's not a food truck out there. There's just nothing out there at Dairy Drive for us.
Instead, Jamie and Anthony are moving into a hotel near Rheindahl Park. The city is using COVID funding to pay for 35 hotel rooms through June. In fact, federal COVID funds have allowed providers to try new things throughout the pandemic. They've rented hotel rooms for families and vulnerable individuals, opened new emergency shelters, and provided rent assistance to prevent homelessness. Joe Volk, executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition Against Homelessness, says it offered a glimpse of what is possible.
It was kind of like almost a golden era of stuff that we always knew needed to happen, resources that we knew needed to be there, but never had the funding to be able to put those into place.
Pandemic innovations were effective. At the start of this year, Milwaukee had a record low number of unsheltered people. But Volk says once people were in shelters or treatment programs, the next link in the chain was still missing.
Even with the resources to move people into housing, there's no housing to be had. There's literally, physically, not enough low-income housing in the state to house all the people that need housing.
Wisconsin has one of the lowest housing vacancy rates in the nation. And when new affordable housing is built, it's usually priced for households earning around $40,000. But there are few options for the lowest earners. And Volk says this creates a pipeline to the shelter system.
You can have services forever and short-term housing, such as shelters or motels forever, but ultimately you've got to move people into housing that they can afford.
There's little indication that the state is willing to invest the resources necessary to meet this need, and federal aid is running out. So temporary solutions like Dairy Drive are likely to remain a big and increasingly expensive part of Wisconsin's response to homelessness. Diane Bazooka, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now to Beloit as we continue our conversations with mayors from all over Wisconsin. It's a community that calls itself the Gateway to Wisconsin, situated near the junction of interstates on the southern border above northern Illinois. Beloit's population is just shy of 37,000. The new U.S. Census figures show a city that shrunk ever so slightly by a few hundred people since the 2010 census. Do you live in Beloit? What are pressing issues? What can other cities learn from Beloit? It's 800-642-1234. Lori Luther has been city manager since 2015. Lori, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so very much for having me this morning.
Well, a bit of parlance here. We've been talking to mayors from around Wisconsin. You're a city manager. Can you explain the difference?
Yes, thank you. So city managers became a profession really as part of the progressive era. And we are appointed by the city council to implement their policies. City managers were a response to the political bosses back in the day that were highly corrupt. I am from Kansas City originally, so if you've heard about the Pendergast bosses in the Kansas City area, city managers were a response to that political machine. And we are nonpartisan, we are neutral, and we are trained specifically in all of the nuances of city government, be it finance, budgeting, public works and engineering. Although I am not an engineer, I have been trained in enough of the concepts so that I can oversee those functions.
And so you report to the city council?
Correct. In Beloit, we have 7 members who are elected at large, and they hired me to be the professional city manager to manage the day-to-day operations.
So is being a city manager easier than being a mayor?
Well, I would tell my friends who are mayors, and I have many, that I am never want to be confused with the elected officials. And that is a different kind of responsibility. I would say both functions, serving as the CEO of the governing corporation, have a unique challenges, but I always want to clarify that I am not an elected official. I am appointed by the elected officials to implement their policies.
Some carefully chosen words there. Well, I want to look at where you are situated, which is really interesting, on the border of Illinois, which legalized marijuana for recreational use at the start of last year. How has that affected life in Beloit at all?
You know, living in Beloit, I can tell you that I really haven't noticed any significant differences. City Hall itself is literally right on the border of South Beloit, Illinois. And, you know, we can walk right over the state line. We're right there, we're that close to the border. But we really have not noticed a dramatic shift in Beloit proper.
Earlier this year, Beloit hired Andre Sales, a new police chief. What is the city doing to address racism in policing?
I am so proud of the work that the Beloit Police Department has done over the years. First of all, the selection of Chief Sales, he is a phenomenal individual, an excellent leader, and I am proud to be working with him. He previously served on the city's recruitment team for the police department. So he's been working to diversify our department so that we're more reflective of the community here in Beloit, which is highly diverse. And I think with him in the leadership position, it really has helped us continue that mission. And we've been very fortunate while all communities, I think, are seeking to hire police officers these days. We've had large recruitment pools and really great candidates. So far, that has been looking great. And, you know, it is a constant work in progress. You can never check a box and say that you've achieved, because facing and fighting racism is a daily battle. But I think that we have made meaningful progress. And, you know, given the fact that we had implemented all of the 21st century policing policy recommendations years ago, I think put us in an excellent position.
But here's the thing. Police departments all over the country and here in Wisconsin are struggling to attract new officers and to retain veteran officers. Are you saying that isn't an issue in Beloit?
I think that we have less of an issue than many of our neighbors. So it is a constant recruitment process, so you can never stop. But I think that we have seen good numbers in our most recent recruitment pool. And so that is very promising. We have a 10-hour shift in Beloit, and that is very attractive for a lot of individuals. It enables every police officer to have just about every other weekend off, the way the days rotate. And having that work-life balance, particularly in law enforcement these days, is a wonderful asset that we can use when we're doing our recruitment.
Speaking of recruitment, beyond policing, here we are in the Great Resignation. People are moving all over the place, and hiring is very difficult. What are you finding out along those lines in Beloit?
So we face those challenges as well, and it is incredibly difficult. What we are seeking to do is to use internships and begin to grow our own. Mechanics these days really are in such high demand, and we've had a really difficult time filling those vacant positions. So we are working with an intern now, and you know, you're seeing employers more willing to pay for educational opportunities to make it possible to fill those positions. But it is a challenge we continue to face. And I think that may be the new normal.
Is that internship like an apprenticeship model? This is paid and it's gradually learning the tools of the trade?
You know, it's interesting that you frame it that way. We didn't call it an apprenticeship, but in many ways it is based on that model. It is a paid position, and this individual is also seeking additional education, and so they can grow with us, if you will, as they learn those additional skills.
We have Beloit City Manager Lori Luther with us explaining issues that she takes on in her city in southern Wisconsin, just above the Illinois border. Can walk across. What issues in Beloit deserve more attention? Have you taken in a minor league baseball game at the new ABC Supply Stadium? What do you think? What other amenities should cities pursue? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Lori Luther here on the Ideas Network. We're in conversation with city leaders from all over Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Today it's Beloit at the junction of the Rock River and Turtle Creek near the Illinois border in Rock County. And according to the Wisconsin Historical Society, I was reading, the origin of Beloit's name is disputed, but it seems that the name came from a French word meaning handsome ground. What should we know about Beloit? Have you struggled to find housing? What do you think of the city's new police chief, what they can accomplish? Join in 800-642-1234. City Manager Lori Luther with us for about 9 more minutes. I understand that development in Beloit is booming even despite the pandemic. What is underway, Lori?
So we have seen exceptional growth over the past 2 years. We are seeing increases in all types of housing. We are seeing industrial growth. We had the Amazon Distribution Center open in 2020. And it's just amazing how much development is happening. So really our biggest challenge as a staff is keeping up with all of those proposals coming through and making sure that we maintain our commitment to really have an easy and fast development approval process.
Has the Amazon Distribution Center been a good business partner for the community? What have you seen out of them?
So what I think is the best thing about them coming last year is that they had jobs available at a time when they were really desperately needed. And so I think, you know, having, you know, 1,500 jobs become available at just that time during the pandemic truly was a blessing for our community. I know that they continue to struggle to hire enough employees. And that's what we're hearing across the board from all of our employers, is that getting enough staff continues to be a challenge pretty much across the board.
Is that due to, what is that due to? Is that just due to the economics of the situations we're seeing right now with people moving from jobs or staying back out of the workforce? What do you think is going on in Beloit's situation?
You know, it's difficult to say, but I believe that people are able or have chosen as in light of the pandemic to be very selective about their work and those options. And so I think all of the employers are competing for those eligible individuals. And to some degree, it's a population issue. So that said, we are also sensitive to a segment of the population that is telling us that they aren't able to find jobs. And so I think there is still work to be done on helping people become more prepared for job readiness and to be able to enter into those positions. So I think there's work to be done on both ends.
You mentioned housing, that housing is going up in Beloit, but there is a housing crunch all over the place. Affordable housing, one of the really difficult things for many communities. What is demand for housing like in Beloit?
Demand is very high. And like other communities, we are seeing developers build. And those structures, whether they are multifamily, single family, executive style, affordable housing, all levels of housing, it seems all are in demand. And as soon as it's built, they're filled. So we don't see the demand slowing down anytime soon. And it is a challenge. I would have to say that right now, housing is one of the very highest priorities for the city at large.
Okay, so this is housing starts, new housing going up around Beloit. What are you doing about the old housing stock and the historical housing stock? Because Beloit is an old city, and I know that you would probably have a lot of this older housing stock.
You're absolutely correct. And one of the things the city does is it promotes a loan program for improvements to existing homes. So to help stabilize neighborhoods and make those options available, that can be, those are funds that can be used for lead remediation or for other improvements that are needed to homes. So that has been an underutilized program. So we definitely want to give a shout out that is available. And absolutely, stabilizing neighborhoods is incredibly important to us. And the city also picks up properties on foreclosure. And we work with an organization called Axe Housing. They're actually located first in Milwaukee, and now they have a branch in Beloit. And they help families that are low income purchase homes and then rehab them and build their own equity. So that's a great program that we have in Beloit as well.
We're talking with Lori Luther, who is Beloit City Manager, a role she has also had in Waukesha and Reedsburg, as we discuss pressing issues with city leaders all over Wisconsin. Do you live in Beloit? What do you think of how the city has weathered the pandemic? What can other communities learn from Beloit? Join in at 800-642-1234. Lori, Beloit benefits from having billionaire Diane Hendricks as one of its residents, who has invested millions upon millions in the city. How does the city ensure that the projects and initiatives are in the vision of the city, if you will, and not catering to a single person's wishes?
That is a very interesting question. I think that we've been incredibly fortunate that the Hendricks family of companies really are community minded, and they have been very forward thinking in how their developments can help build community. The best example of that is the ABC Supply Stadium located in downtown Beloit. It's a $38 million facility that received no city financing or incentives other than we provided the land for it to be constructed on. And so having that development as a community center and really to do so much more than baseball. They had movie nights and we see nonprofits. It really, I think, in the future is going to help us build community. And that kind of development is, in my opinion, the best kind to have.
In the seconds we have left, I want to turn to federal pandemic aid and how the city is, what is the city using its aid for, how much you've received?
The city stands to receive $15.2 million. We received half of it already. And unlike some communities, Beloit is being very slow and deliberate and not rushing to spend those dollars. They have not yet been allocated because we recognize this is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-career, opportunity that we need to be very strategic about how those funds are allocated. And so we anticipate in 2022 really looking at additional process and being very public and transparent about how those funds are allocated.
Lori, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so very much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Lori Luther has been the city manager of Beloit since 2015. Which city leader should we meet with next? Suggest your mayor by completing a 2-question form at WPR.org/mornings. Just provide your name and a brief explanation about why your mayor should be on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.